Can you tell me your name, please?
William Rawlings.
And where were you born and when?
Invercargill, Rosyth, in 1928.
Okay.
I better say Scotland as well, just to make sure.
Yes, yes. And when did you move to Burn Banks?
When I was 18 months old, so that must have been, say, 1930.
And why did you come to Burn Banks?
Because my father died. I just don't know how long before, but he died, and mother was left widowed, and her family were coming down to work on the dam. So she threw a lot in with them, and we all came down together.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
No, I was the only one. But on my mother's side, there was Harry Toon, Bill Toon, and Ivy. Three of those, and they would all be just coming up. Ivy was 11 years older than me, so she was still school age. She went to Bampton School. Harry would be just a couple of years older, so I don't know whether he actually went to Bampton School or started. But Bill, he started working on the tunnel. Now then, the Depression came just about that time, and Bill lost his job on the tunnel, and I don't think Harry had started working then, so there was something about the means test that Bill had to leave home, because, I don't know, something like that. So where he went and how he, whether they slept in tents, but there was the certain ones had to leave the house, you know.
This was sometime in the
for the means test, in the, yeah, the 30s, yeah.
Yes.
I think it was about between 1930 and 1932. We were in the country was in a, you know, a grip of whatever it was.
Recession.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Can you remember the first house?
Oh, yes. It would be about number 60. It was on the top road. And there were semis, weren't there? Semi-bungalows, things. Mm. Yeah, I remember that one. And
well, can you remember what it was like?
Oh, yeah.
How many bedrooms?
I think that one had... three, I think. I think it had three. So how we all slept, I don't know. But then, see, I was only 18 months. And then my next recollection was mother getting married again to Bill Twigg. And they moved down into number 5. When they stayed on number 5 right through to... he moved up to Drybarrows. And we then moved into a big hut. That's what they called them, big huts. And they had, I think they had the dormitories. And at the end of there's the house part, a big kitchen, a big living room with a solid fuel range where she used to do all the cooking and that for the lodgers. And then behind that there was a sitting room and two bedrooms for Granny and Grandad and Ivy. Bill and Harry slept down on the lodger side, you know, where they were wide, and then they went narrow, and there were dormitories all the way down, just single rooms. And at the end of that, there was a little wash place with a little solid fuel fire in again for the navvies or whatever they were, just to sit at the evening and have a warm and play cards if they liked. Then there was also a way they washed up, a little kitchen and a pantry.
So were your
grandparents?
You were there with your grandparents, and were they running it?
Yes, my grandmother run it. Grandmother run it, and
what was her name?
Toon, T-O-O-N-E.
N-E, right.
Not as in this book here. Right, that's Miss... yeah, she run it.
What was her first name?
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
And Grandad always called her Polly. I don't know why.
And what was your grandfather's name?
Tommy Toon. Right. He was a blacksmith striker. Built like a brick.
Mm.
I won't say the other word. And he worked all the way through from when it started up again as a as a blacksmith striker, right through to definitely 40, 1939-40. The dam was about finished then, and they started then, I'm digressing, making perch traps for putting in the lake to catch perch for the war effort to sent through to a factory in Leeds. The end of that tale was the lake came up that fast, flooded them all, and they lost them all in the lake, and eventually they did get some back.
But that's when it was filling up?
When it was filling up, they were putting these perch traps in with a rope on and a glass bowl. I've still got a glass bowl. And then when it came up that fast, that it left quite a lot of them down below. There'll be some in the bottom there now. I can say as well, years and years later, when the level dropped, we did get one perch trap out still. No perching, but there's trouting. So the trout must have been living on other things coming in. And there was this one trouting. And that's just one recollection I've got of those, that episode.
What's a blacksmith striker?
Well, in those days, they were nearly all navvies, no JCBs.
It was picks, done by hand.
Picks and shovels. Yes. And they had to make their own picks and sharpen the picks, sharpen the shovels, do all this. So the blacksmith, he would get his tongs, put his red hot iron on the blacksmith striker, fired it up. The blacksmith got his tongs, held it there, and told the striker where to hit. You know, he put his thing there and the striker hit it.
Mm-hmm. Sharpen it up?
Yeah, sharpen them up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see, right.
So the blacksmith actually was doing the job, but he was the man with the hammer hitting it.
Mm-hmm. And whereabouts was this big house you've described?
Well, the top road is still there. Yes. You've lost the bottom road. So you went up the top road and there was a row of semi-bungalows, and then you come to the big shop, the store. I can't remember the name of the chap that run it. Then they went down the other side and there was a substation, and that's still there because I seen it when I come on my walk last time. The substation, because those days they made their own electricity. They had electricity there before anybody else around the community. The bathrooms, all these bungalows and bathrooms in, and all modern, if you like. Mm. Also, the power from that power station, and if you ever walk along the east side of the lake, you'll see a wire now and again going along it. Well, they used to take the electricity right up the east side, and it went across just by the Narrows and up into Horswater Hotel. Mm. So the Horswater Hotel had electricity right from the word go. Mm.
Very modern, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How did they make it? Was it hydroelectricity? Did they have a generator?
No, it was a generator, and I can't say whether it was oil or solid fuel. I can't remember that. But Harry Toon, he worked there as a boilerman, and they used to charge all the village batteries, the accumulators. Anybody that was just could afford a wireless those days had them, but they were on run off wet batteries, accumulators, and they used to charge them there for maybe for a penny or twopence or something like that.
You just take them along.
You took them along, yeah. And they took them and charged them up, right. And then you brought them back again. Right. They were actually doing that in most of the garages those days.
Mm. And so this big house with the dormitories, that was beyond there?
No, that was the top road.
But on the top road?
Yeah, well, just off the top road. By just below number 60, it was was number 30, and that was ours.
And that was where you were.
The one going towards the dam, I'm nearly sure was Mrs. That was another big hut, Mrs. Sullivan's, and I think the one below, going down, was Mrs. Jules. Across from them, there was a little bit of a front garden, a bit of a grass, and then there was another big house, Mrs. Easton's. That was on the left. And I cannot for the life of me think of the name of the other one on the right. But I think there was about five or six big houses.
And these were for unmarried men?
No, these were for the navvies, if you like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they were single men?
They were all single men, yeah.
Yeah.
They just come, you know, just pick and shovel in, and that was it. And all the others were like single semis.
Did your grandmother have to do cooking? And
she cooked for them.
Cleaning and washing for the
men? No, not the washing for the men.
They'd wash their own clothes, would they?
I suppose so. As far as I know, she only did that. Monday was wash day. She might have done some of the washing for them, I don't know, but they washed their own socks and things like that, because down in the bottom where I said was this little stove, and they were drying, and they were always drying because they were always wet. Well, not always wet, but they used to come in wet, so they had to dry their own stuff off down there.
And what about cooking? Did she cook?
Cooking, she had this big open, a big range.
Yes.
Yeah, with her, she baked her own bread, made her own cakes, and she had a big, quite a bit of bread, because they all took, she made them breakfast, then they took the snack, was cheese, nearly always cheese and corned beef. Oh, they never got fed up of it, I don't know, big thick slices, and then they came home to a cooked meal every night. I couldn't even tell you the menu at one time. I know it was always pork on Tuesday, beef on Monday. But she varied it, and fish.
Mm-hmm. So did they all sit round and eat together?
Great big table down,
yes.
and benches, where you sat on a bench. And they used to sit in there and just eat. And they all the men were down that side, and then we had the family table on this side. And a great big pot of tea always on the top of this, always hot.
Sitting on the range?
On the range, yes, on top, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What about washing up after? Did anyone help out? Or?
Oh, no, just my granny. She did the washing, and Ivy helped her out, of course, and I have to do some drying now and again. On wash days and all, I can always remember she had one of these things where you went like this. A washing machine. They called it.
Oh.
And you just put your washing in it. And well, she had a big boiler as well, but this was the modern thing of the time. It had a wooden handle on it. It had a handle on it with a metal paddle. You close the lid down, put your washing in, put your hot water in, close the lid down, and just swished it about.
Probably harder than it sounds, though, I should imagine.
No, it wasn't. If you didn't put too much in, you just had to. I used to get me doing it sometimes, fed up just doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about washing if you needed a bath? Was that?
There was a bath down on the. As I say, the men's side, they could have the bath any time they liked. Mm. It was hot water from, I would imagine, an immersion heater. Mm. I should imagine that. I don't know. I don't think it was fired from the range. Mm. It was electric, yeah.
What about for you and your grandparents? Did you have separate?
No, that was the only. That was the bath. We would bath when they were all at work. Well, every Friday night it was my bath night, and once a week, no, it's every night.
Did you have a coal house?
Yes, we had a coal house. That was, as I explained, the dining room, if you like, or whatever it was. You went into the living quarters for Granny. A little door on the outside went to the coal house. Then, as I said, then next to the coal house, inside, was the pantry. Then there's a washing up place, then you went out another door, and there was two outside toilets. Outside but inside, you know, you went out of the house and there was two toilets there.
It's very well catered for, really.
Oh, they were really set up, yeah.
Yes, yes. Compared to where some people had come from.
Oh, yes,
Oh,
some of them were maybe on the road, you know, they'd been just tramping down job here and a job there and things like that. Some of them
now hard, weren't they?
Oh, times were hard, yeah. There was a chap lived with us all the way through, Charlie Squires. He actually went up to, when they went to Shap, he went and lived up as Shap as well, but he didn't live with us, he lived in another spot. And I think he died in Shap.
Where had he come from, originally?
I would think he come from down about Aspidella Zeus. It was down that area, because my granddad, he came from around that area.
Yes.
So they were pals as well, and he was all when he was dressed up in moleskins, all said Best and Charlie. Yeah. Never got married.
What job did he do?
He was just a labourer.
Yeah. So yeah. Whatever.
Well, when the labourers, yeah. When how can I put it? When my recollection, I can't remember him digging it out. I can't remember some of it digging it out where the big spaces were, and as I say, this blue, very blue clay, and then they got down onto rock.
What did they do with the stuff they dug out? Did they just take it away?
The bowling green was built. It was built up.
Out of the stuff they dug out of the green?
Yeah, out of the soil and that. And it was a lovely bowling green, and a bowling hut and trees. And then down below that, there was the tennis pitch, the tennis courts. That was to the side. That's right. That was to the side going towards the estate office. And then, as I say, the next to that was all this timber they put, and then the estate office. Now the other side was all allotments, going right down to the edge of where the works was. You know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There was must have been about 30 allotments there.
Mm-hmm. People used to grow their own.
Grow their own ground veg. We granddad's spot was just beside the bowling green. He was at the bottom one. Yeah, he used to grow his own onions, his own potatoes, and things like that. Mm-hmm. With a big deer fence up to stop the deer coming in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, and the kites. Now that was I think that was made from the blue clay that came out of the dam, and it was a big like a clay patch, and a stake in the middle, a big iron stake, and they used to have a thing like a horseshoe, if you like, mm-hmm. and they used to throw it, and the one that got nearest to it won. But you should, if someone was too near, you should try and knock it away. And they would play for pennies and halfpennies. Mm-hmm. And also there's a pitch and toss at a little school like that as well.
You described the piles of timber. Can you say where that came from?
Oh yeah, that came out of the valley. When they started knocking the houses down, and all right from the word go, it started... I'm just going on reminiscing now because I can't remember this, but it did start taking the timber down before the 30s. So it was always put out there to weather and season, and it was actually a big field, and it was full during the war. We used to play on it, had little camps in it. And
this was whole trunks, was it?
Oh yeah, the whole trunk, the whole trunk come down. Yeah. Mm. Well, when I say the whole trunk, there would be cut into maybe lengths of 8 foot or something like that, but whatever, you know, sizes they wanted to wear.
And then what happened? They were sold?
Well, next to that was the estate, which is still there, and a sawmill, and it was sawed up into fencing, latch bars, gates to serve all the farms, because the corporation bought all the farms around the area, so they had to do all the fencing, all the fencing around the lakes. That was all cut from there, beams for the farmhouses, and I suppose they did sell quite a bit off.
So people had to. Did you have to pay if you wanted to play bowls or tennis, or was it just free?
No, that was free. No, there's a hut there. Yeah. Mm. Bear in mind when I'm talking about this, I'm only a kid, so I never played bowls on it, and it was flat green, the same as Penrith. So we are crown green around here, and the football pitch. While we're on activities, the football pitch was Nadalgate. The field just on the as you're coming into Nadalgate on the right hand side, and that was where we played in. And that year we won the Westmorland Cup.
Which year was that?
I think it was about 1938.
Yes. Did you go and watch?
Oh yeah. I was a mascot. I was dressed up in blue and white. There's a little bit about me in there. As all my name is Rawlings, we've been, when my mother moved down there, got married between them themselves, I was left it with my grandma Toon. So my name was after that was Billy Toon, or Mackie Toon, as I got nicknamed, because Bill was Mac. So I did most of my life up there being called Mackie Toon. So anybody that does know anything about the old, they'll know.
So you've got two names, really. Yes. So what was the football team called?
Hawswater United.
And that was mainly people from Burn Banks? Or
all Burn Banks, yeah.
All Burn Banks, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And they were quite successful then?
Well, we won the Westmorland Cup, yeah. Right. I can remember vividly the Lord Mayor of Manchester coming and presenting with us the medals in the recreation room, and I got half a crown. Unfortunately, I don't know where the half crown is now, but shook hands with me and gave me half a crown. Lord Alderman, I can't remember his name, Alderman somebody.
I'm just going to press pause. Okay. What can you remember about the early days of the dam and the different jobs people did?
Always fascinated me the wagons coming down the concrete road with the cement and whatever it was and bringing it down, and there was a very big mixer. You just put it in that, mix it all up, and then we had the blondin that went right across the valley. It was a two-wire blondin. One bucket would go across and back again like this. Take it to the joiners would all shutter up, get all the wooden shuttering up, and then the pour the concrete that had been mixed at the other end, and then the navvies I'm talking about, or they would get in where the shuttering was, tip the concrete, and they'd pull it out with the shovels, and they'd big thigh boots on up to here, hobnails on the bottom, and they'd paddle among it, and they'd a compressor, a big compressor with vibrators on, and they'd just be going around with these vibrators, but paddling all the time in it. And then, of course, the blondin, that worked the whole time of the dam. Yeah.
Just getting higher and higher, I suppose.
No, it was right up there all the time. So the blondin was always up there.
So how did you pull the stuff out?
Well,
if it was high.
Well, it used to travel about that far.
Yes.
You cross, and then when it got down, it had a big rope, big wires, let it right down, so it didn't matter.
So it would go up and down as well as across?
Up and down and across, yeah. Mm.
Yes.
And it just, when it got to where it wanted to tip it, it would come right down, and then to tip it, as I say, and paddle it in and use the vibrators, it would go back up again and back to be loaded up.
Mm.
This was going on all the time.
How did it move across then? Were the people...
Well, there was a man, like the ski lift now.
Yes.
He was on the controls. He used to send them across.
Right.
And they would go round and come back again and...
Yeah. Done with a motor, and there was just someone controlling it.
Oh, big motor on one side.
Was it quite noisy?
No, it was electric. Mm. That they used to do themselves. They made, their own power station.
Mm.
And then, I can't remember the time, they went over onto the grid. Now, whether they put their own... But it went from DC to AC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We were DC when it first started.
Yeah. So you would have gradually seen the dam getting...
I've seen the dam right from its rock, right till it finished.
Yes. When did they plant? They planted a lot of trees.
The tree planting went on nearly the whole of the time. Those around Colby now and Measand, they weren't there when I left. They've been planted since. There's some further up the lake and all, they've been planted since I left. But tree planting was going on all the time. And when the allotments, people were going away from the allotments, then we commandeered about the first, from the work side, about four allotments, and we grew our own spruce, Norwegian spruce, Sitka spruce, Japanese larch, I don't think we planted any larch, it was always Japanese larch, because it's a very fast grower. The forester then was Jim Jeffries, and he lived at Helton, and he used to come up. He also, the two works wagons, Jim was one, and Arthur Robinson was the driver of the other one. Now, Arthur, he used to take the men over to Garnet Bridge every day, that's the straining wells. Every morning he took a load over in his wagon, then brought them back, and that was about the last project to go ahead. Now the other wagon was, as I say, I worked with Jim, and we used to, we were on the forestry, but we also did going around the farms. If they wanted timber, things like that, we would take that up and drop that and come back. And then he would go down to, he'd leave me planting trees, and he would go down to Penrith during the morning, pick up the lobster and stuff for the hotel for the councillors and the big boys coming up.
People from Manchester?
I think from Manchester, yeah. Manchester Corporation, yeah. Town council, or whatever they call themselves. Oh, they lived there. There was good meals up there.
So, how old were you at this stage? Because you'd
left. I'd be 15 then.
You'd be 15. And you,
15 and a half. I left school at 15 and a half, yes.
Yes. So that was your first job?
My first job, yeah.
Was doing forestry work for the corporation?
Yeah, well, with Jim. Whatever was going, whatever was. Like, we were with the wagon that run round to the farms, and because the other one was tied up with a gang of bridgemen.
You described going up to Mardale planting trees.
Chapel Hill, on looking across down to the Old Dunbull, I would say I planted 75% of those.
The spruce trees?
I planted Norwegian spruce, larch, a few Sitka, not many, a few Sitka. And, which you won't see now, but because they'd miscalculated, all the hardwoods were all washed out. Oak, beech, sycamore.
They were lower down?
They were lower down, and the lake come up, unfortunately, too high and took them all away.
Was the intention that those would be harvested?
No, they were to be, to shield, if you like, the I think the Friends of the Lake Dish, you know, said they had to have hardwoods as well. So we had four rows of hardwoods, and then the softwoods behind that.
Was the idea, though, at some point the hardwoods, the softwood would be used?
Oh, the softwoods would be as pit props, right. Because I only planted them 5 foot apart.
To make them grow straight, is that the idea?
Well, it's it makes them grow faster.
Yes.
They got they're all going up, and so you get your pit props, and you get your Christmas trees, and you get all this.
But they're
sort
still
of
there now, aren't they?
I think they've thinned them out a bit. They must have done.
But they're not planning to fell them?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's a waterboard now, so. Yeah. I didn't know then, but all we used to do was I had a spade and I had to make a cut like the shape of a T. And all you made it that way and across, lifted it up and put your tree in. Your trees are only that size.
So what's that, about 6 inches? 6-9 inches.
I would say about 9 inches to a foot.
And then you just stamp it down.
Then just put your heel in, and that was it. And then go to the next one.
You said some of those trees were already there.
None on that side. Not
no, but on the
on the other side, looking down into the rig, they were there before I started. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And the trees in front of the dam now, were they?
There was a few there, and there was.
It's quite a big plantation there now, isn't
there? Well, you see that. It was all offices and workshops and that down there then, so they've all been planted since 1945, I was saying 46. They'll be planted there, as I say, after I left there in what, 44-ish.
And you described going up on the fells a lot, is it?
As a boy, well, from nearly as soon as I could walk, I was a loner, and I got a fishing rod, and I fished Cordell, Heltondale, Riggindale, Foddendale, Mardale, Blue Water, Small Water.
Did you catch much?
No, one or two, but I was on Little Water. You used to get a few perch in Little Water.
And just be out for the whole day?
I just get a few sandwiches and a bottle of cold tea, and that would be me off. When it was school holidays, of course. Because I never missed a day of school, never, ever.
Did you ever get ill? No?
The only time I can remember getting ill, I got ill twice. I had pneumonia once. I was pretty laid low with that. And I got sunstroke once. And I was laid low with that for about a week, and I can always remember I had to go with a flat cap on for a long time after that. A little boy with a big hat. By that time, of course, I was sleeping down in the dormitory, if you like, or the cubicles.
Yeah. So it wasn't actually separate rooms, it was cubicles.
Right? All cubicles. It was all separate.
Yes.
You had a little single bed, yes. A little cupboard beside it, just to put your clothes in, and nothing else. That was just about it, and an electric light. And you all had. I don't know whether it was all. Yes, you had your own electric light. They were all up top to bottom. Couldn't climb over or anything like that. No, there were separate little. Yeah.
Were there many people that went out walking? Were a lot of people interested in getting out on the hills? Or?
Well, you know, I don't really know, because as I say, that time I was as there's so many sporting activities to go on there, and of course a lot of them younger men married the younger women. There'd be courting going and all that, which was to me was out to the 2 hours fishing, and you know.
So the others maybe had better things to do than going up on the hill.
Harry and he used to like fishing. Harry Toon, he did quite a bit of fishing. Bill didn't bother much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would people go hunting or anything like that? Was there anything?
Oh, we would always have it. Always out rabbiting.
With a gun.
Or I did in later life get a gun, but when I've come on to Walney. I had a gun on here. I got rid of it quite a few years ago. Mm-hmm. When regulations were coming in, they were coming in too fast. You had to have them in locked in, as you know. So I just said, I'll give up shooting now.
Mm-hmm. What can you remember about going to school? Remember when you started?
Oh, I remember the first day I went down there. Yeah. I must have been about 4 years old, and Ivy had gone to school, and I thought, well, it's about time I was going, so I went down myself, and of course she had to bring me home. And yes, I remember going down, starting school, and
this was at Bampton.
At Bampton, yes, yeah. And we started as infants in the wooden building.
You remember your teacher?
Dougie Thornton. I always remember him. And Miss Gornall, she came with the evacuees, so that was just about the end of my schooling. It would be, that would be now 1940, wouldn't it, when the evacuees came from Barrow, and they came from Newcastle. Mm-hmm. McCormack's had, can't remember the names, but McCormack's had a vicar, he had two girls, they came from Newcastle, but most of them were from Barrow, and she came with them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it must have been quite packed in the school.
I wouldn't say packed, but it was comfortable. Yeah.
Did you have a uniform?
No uniforms. Lads would come in clogs and. Aye.
And did you enjoy it?
Well, I say I don't think I ever missed it, and I was never a truant. So I never missed a day going there, but I think it was just that it was a thing you had to do. You were brought up, we were pretty well disciplined then, those days. I can remember when we first started, we'd go down on the bus, there was a bus took us down, and we came back on a bus. And then as I got older, of course, I got a bike, and I used to bike down to school every day. I also biked down to Charlie Noble's at Wormgate for a pitcher of milk. Take that back up to Granny to the big hut.
Mm-hmm. How'd you carry that on your bike?
Oh, none of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you make friends amongst the kids from Bampton?
Oh, yeah, we're all.
Everyone was in together.
Oh, yeah. Cyril Brennan, I think he's gone now with Cyril. Harvey Kitchen, they're all my age group. John is still there, John Thompson. Mm. He's at Eastwood still.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and there was Brunskills. They came from Naddle to where they are now on Hunger Hill. Mm. Are they still there, Brunskills, or not? No, they won't be.
Well, there's Les Brunskill in Shap.
Ah, well, they've gone, because I don't think anybody's farming Hunger Hill now, are they? It's the house is just.
I'm not sure.
I think somebody comes from Naddle to do it, doesn't it? Right. But when I was at. When we lived, the early years, Naddle was the kitchens. Park, Hyde Park Kitchen. And they always had a big white bull in the field that just goes off the main road up to the thing, and the bull was always with him. And this, for some reason, it went daft one Saturday afternoon, and it gored poor old man Kitchen. That would be about 1935, I think.
Nasty.
And it killed him, yeah. And I can also remember a bull getting Charlie down in Wormgate. And I was there that when it did it, and the dog run at the bull straight up onto its ring and dragged it away. The dog did. It
saved his life, maybe.
Yeah, most likely, yeah, because then what he did, he got up and got away. It didn't do him any harm, but it got him down.
Right, and that's when you're down.
And the dog went in, yeah, and grabbed him. It was such a little bull and all.
Anything else about school?
Did
you have to take your own lunch?
Yes. Yeah, we took our own lunch, always our pack up. There was no kitchen at the time when we started, so we took our own lunch. And then, it's patchy as a school because I wasn't all that academic. I can remember one lad that was really, Dougie used to tutor him as well. A boy called Ian, and he actually went, I think he ended up in grammar school and went on to higher things, I think. But no, I was just there to do my little bit, do as little as possible and go home.
What about school trips? Were there any school trips?
Now then.
People have described going to
Morecambe. I think we had a school trip, the one, oh yes, we went to Morecambe a couple of times, but we also, I think we went once to Whitley Bay.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a big Leyland Tiger, I think the bus was. Oh, it was great, that. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it was a school trip or a village trip, you see. I'm not quite sure about that, who organised it. I thought the village organised it.
Yes, possibly.
Yes. Through the recreation, you know. Yes.
Did the chapel used to
organise? No, the chapel, the part of the chapel I know was the Methodists would be in there sometimes, and also McCormack, he come up, the Reverend McCormack, and he did services. So it was...
Is it in the mission, or the chapel, or...?
Oh, the mission, the little mission. Yeah. We're not talking about the Bombay Chapel,
no,
are we?
We're talking about the mission.
Well, we called it the chapel. We didn't call it the mission. So it was Mr... Wilfred, was it? The Right Reverend Wilfred McCormack. He had to have his right, he had to have his name, Reverend William McCormack. He used to do services there, and also somebody from the chapel there were lay preachers. Dougie Thornton was one, he was a lay preacher.
Mm-hmm. Was he the head teacher at the school?
Oh, I was there all the time.
And there would have been several other teachers?
Yes, well, there would only be about another two.
Yes, yes.
He was stretched at times, he used to...
Oh, he's
bad tempered. Oh, he was bad tempered. Yeah. In one particular instance, I got a real hammer in. He went over the hill actually on that one. But we'd gone out at playtime and gone up to the, you know where the chapel is. There was a chap had ducks or something there near one of these tin baths. We used to keep it with water. Well, of course, we decided we'd launch it. Well, he could see out of his windows. And Cyril Brennan and I were the last to go back in, and I got what he called first fairy. It was one of these things out the back of a chair, and he really lambasted it into me, and of course as I'm going in, he's hitting, I was bruised from there to there. And the old lady went down, she was merry.
Good for
her. But whether he ever used it again after that, I don't know, but he went over the hill that time. But he was, I suppose he's frustrated, and we'd done wrong, so I didn't shout about it, just that I'd seen it.
You described, you used to sing in the choir.
Yeah, I wasn't a very good singer, but we used to go down.
What was the attraction then of being in the choir?
Most likely the girls.
Ah, this was later on then, was it?
Yes, yeah.
So you started off... I used to
go down to and of course my grandmother, I suppose she got me to go to church, I don't know, I used to go down to morning service and evening service every Sunday. Funerals, we would walk in front of the... I can remember two or three times with our surplice and cassocks on. And I think there was one particular instance where we walked down when some of the graves from Mardale come down and were buried in Bampton, as well as Shap.
And did they have a little service then?
Oh yeah, we'd have a service, and then there would be a service at the graveside, and yeah. Yeah, no, I think I was just cajoled into it, you know. He'd come round and said he wanted somebody for the choir, you, and...
But then you defected, you went to the chapel.
I went to the chapel because I had it, and I think they took me to go on there because they were struggling. And then he come and got me back again, and I finished up with down there.
The Reverend McCormack came and fetched you back?
Yeah. God, come to see me granny and...
Yeah.
Read the riot act, so they'd have to go back again.
do you remember going to the dances or anything like that?
I was a bit young, but I do remember just towards, I'm leaving Shap, yeah, I used to go to the hops, but I couldn't dance those days. I didn't really start dancing until I moved to Shap.
You'd moved to Shap?
No, before I moved to Shap.
Before you moved to Shap,
right. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Oh yeah, before I moved to Shap it was pulled down.
Oh right, so in the early 40s?
Yes, half of the recreation came to Barrow, and it was on the prom just where you turned at the lights. It was there for years and years and years, and it finished, and there was a library there before it was knocked down, and the library's on like a new library now, but that's where that one came.
It was used as the library?
Pardon?
It was a library?
It was used as a library, yes, all through the war.
Pretty tough building, really.
Oh yes, I remember them pulling that down actually, and they took it down bit by bit, and I can actually remember a man falling off the roof, and he came down, but it wasn't too bad. He maybe broke a leg or something, but he was, you know.
So that was the recreation hall.
The canteen that was pulled down. They were all going on about the same time. And I was going round all the houses getting the waste paper, and I was storing it in a big hut, and then the wagon would come and take it all away. I just used to pick it up, I had a key to go in the hut, and I used to...
Newspapers
and things like that for the war effort.
Right, so there was recycling back then?
Yes, during the war, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you describe the canteen, that's where...
Well, yeah, I can't describe the canteen because I was too young to go in. But I used to go in, it was... Hazelhurst. He had it.
Mr. Hazelhurst.
Mr. Hazelhurst, yeah. And the only thing I can remember, because I was never old enough, of course, naturally. I was left when I was... Well, it was pulled down before I was drinkable age. I don't say I wasn't drinking before drinkable age, but it was. But I used to go and give him a hand. He had chickens. You pass Nadalgate, and you come up, and just before you go up the little bit of a hill into Burnbanks, that little field there, he had that as a chicken run.
That was on the right,
On the right hand side, yeah. And I think there's cages in there now. Did they rear pheasants or something in there?
I don't know what they're for, but there are still.
Well, that's where he had his hens, and I used to go and give him a hand, and he used to get bread and stuff and put it in buckets and feed him. And I can remember going in and seeing all the stills with the battles on. It was a long building, just on a level. But the canteen, I can't tell you anything about.
What, he used to do his own brewing?
No, that came in from Glassons.
You said about stills and barrels, I thought that meant...
Well, when I said stills, it means where you put them on.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
I don't mean...
Was it some illegal...
Oh, we're not talking about the...
Right.
Yeah.
So you used to get beer deliveries coming in then?
Oh, beer, yeah. Oh, I drank quite a bit of beer. It was hotchpotch in the weekend. Mm. Grandad Toon. How the heck? He lived as long as he did, I don't know. But he went into his... Every night, he went into his bedroom about... 7 or 8 o'clock into bed and a pipe, and he was smoking that pipe until he went to sleep every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or maybe Thursday, and then it was the Friday, Saturday.
Over at the canteen.
Over the canteen, I coming in, rolling, and then same ritual. Didn't go out again for another drink until weekend again. And I think there's a lot like that. The younger set, they did. They used to use the canteen, but.
Did they actually eat there as well, or was it?
No,
really,
no, no, just drink. Just a
bar, really.
Just a bar.
Yeah.
A working man's bar.
And a few fights broke out.
Oh yes, the weekends would get a bit too much, and playing cards and maybe lost money and gambling, and you'd have one or two fights.
So what about PC Ossle? Did he have something?
PC Ossle, oh yes, he was a right character. I think we were all absolutely frightened to death of him. He had his old bike there, and he had his Alsatian. Yeah, my first memories of him, we had a spaniel, and it was running among the sheep. I don't think it wasn't worrying, it was just running among them. Anyway, we'd have it put down, and that's when Dags had Thornthwaite Hall, or should I say Thornthwaite. And I can remember the...
So PC also paid you a visit, did he, about the dog?
Oh, yeah, and he virtually forced them to have it put down. Mm. So we never had another one after that up there. I've had terriers ever since I've been here.
Mm-hmm. So was he around on a Friday and Saturday night keeping order?
Or? Oh, no, I don't think so. I think he'd keep out of the way on that one. He's very good at taking licences out and going around the farms and seeing if the sheep were dipped, and there was no...
A bit officious, maybe,
one way, and any no illegal slaughtering of pigs, which you went on during the war, everybody knows. He'd always get his share, of course, but, like all of us.
Yes, other people have described... going round to the waterboard farms and doing jobs and maybe getting paid a bit in kind, some eggs or some sort
nearly
of...
Nearly always in kind. If you went haymaking, you never got paid cash. Mm. No, just in kind. Mm. Bag of potatoes or something like that. In fact, I used to do that down here. When I first came here, went down to bigger... helped Jim Hayton out there, and just in kind. It was okay.
You talked earlier about the store. What can you remember about that?
Oh, the store, it was a well-stocked store as well. I can remember as a kid, and I can't remember the people's name, but I used to go in the bath and play with his son, and he'd drink big cheeses like that. We used to roll them. They're all in Hessian.
Yes, what's that about, three
metres
across?
Oh, they were like plumbing wagon wheels.
Yes,
of
yes, just big ones.
Yeah. Yeah, and he used to have his piano string, and he used to bring it out there and cut it in chunks. Because, as I say, it must have all been the same.
It's all right, it's okay. And then what, just say how much you wanted and he'd weigh it out?
And you would... you'd buy your flour and stuff like that, but we also had the corp. Wagon came once a week. Mm-hmm. The corp... traveller, I think he would call him a salesman, he would come up round the big huts, and Granny used to buy a bag of flour, a hundredweight of flour and stuff like this. She got it in bulk, and she always bought that through the corp. Mm-hmm. Every week.
In the larder?
In the larder, went. It was quite a big larder, yeah.
So you're well stocked, really?
Well stocked, when nothing could get up there for a fortnight, we could have still lived.
So in the winter sometimes, you'd have had a... Oh, when cut off for a bit sometimes.
In the really bad winter, 39, 40, 41, nothing come through for a week. Mm. They started digging out from Burnbanks, and they started digging out from Penrith, and I think it took them about 4 days. And we were going to school, and I can remember just past, there was a hoggers there, it's gone now. You couldn't see above the snow where they dug out.
That deep?
Yeah. It was that deep. It must have been, 12 foot high.
Yeah.
Right through, where it had drifted.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Good fun if you're a kid, I suppose.
Yeah. There's also those early days we used to get a heck of a lot of flooding as well. With, I think it's still there. There was a little low wall going to the school where, when it flooded, we had to get up on that. And we had to walk along the wall from Bampton Grange to Bampton.
Yes, people still do that.
They still do it, yes.
And you said earlier you could remember horse water freezing. Was that
oh, it was completely frozen over. We were all skating on it.
At the same time, or was that
a... Oh, no, that was early. That was about 34, 35. It was a big freeze-up.
Right. A bit dodgy, maybe, because sometimes you can fall through the ice, but...
No, it was thick. Really it was thick, yeah. Yeah, you could have taken a horse on.
Yes.
It was that thick.
Good fun.
But also, I can remember, as the dam was being built, we used to... There was a nice grassy path right up onto the fell side from the village, and we could walk along, because they'd fenced it all off then for you know, because of the Blondins and everything, and Lord Lonsdale's boathouse. Oh, and it was a beautiful place, a lovely green, like jetty round where he had his boat in there. It was a lovely place then. I can always remember standing there and seeing a big perch sailing past and
thinking, oh, I'd like to have that. yes. So what happened to the boathouse? Did it just dismantle,
It was rebuilt on the other side to the Friends of the Lake District's specification. It's still there.
Is it? What, on the hotel side?
On the hotel side, yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's there.
I'll have to have a look.
Yeah.
Can you remember swimming in the lake at all? Did people swim?
Yes, we swam there. Swam, yeah. And I can remember the Narrows, just below Mason Hall. The lake used to be like that, and it come right into a very narrow. You couldn't jump across it, but it looked as though you could, and then it widened out again. Yeah, I can remember that. The old Mardell, the old road going up.
And then gradually disappearing under the water.
Then, yes. But when you say gradually, I think with a really heavy snowfall. And that, it didn't gradually, it flew up, right over the spillway, yes. As soon as it's, you get more water from snow when it's thawing out.
When did they start, when did they block off the river then to fill the dam up?
Because they never ever blocked the river off.
They
never ever blocked the river off.
No. Right.
They'd put, that was the last bit to be done was the river, but it comes through big pipes now, doesn't it? And they allow.
That's right. They allow so much.
I think it's 3 million sits in my mind, but I don't know whether it's 3 million gallon an hour, or what. But it's this 3 million. It was the absolute minimum to come out. They couldn't go below that figure. And you've been in the dam, have you?
Not in the dam, no.
I've been in. Well, I worked there.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, it's all it is. It's just you can just walk through it, and as you can see up the sides of it, where that there was one or two seeps what they call bougie in it, that where it was seeping through, and had to fill that up. And then in the middle of the dam, there's these big valves and big pipes, and they can just allow how much water they want to come out, or how much. If it's getting too much above, they can let a bit more away. They won't now, of course, because they'll send it through the pipeline, won't they, to another... Although you did get flooded last year, I believe.
It happens every now and again, yes.
That should never happen. Never happen.
Yeah. Well, people do complain quite a lot about United Utilities.
Oh, I do as well.
Yes. But in the early days when you were there, I mean, the various people I've talked to, they spoke very highly of
Manchester Corporation,
how well people were looked after.
Oh yeah, they looked after you very well, yeah. But Utilities, they've ruined it. I can walk on spots and you can see where they're diverted, they're pinching every little bit of water out the hillside and shoving into little rivulets that used to be there, have gone because they're draining it away.
Yeah. And that wasn't done originally, that was done later, was it?
Oh, that's been done since I've been away from there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it breaks my heart to see Cordill and Heltondale as low as they are. And
yeah.
There's no fish there now. Mind, there's two big herons there, they might be some of the problem, but...
yes, that's right, yeah.
I don't know whether you've seen them, I see them regular, the
herons. There was originally some plan to put some machinery inside the dam. I've heard
there is machinery now.
Yes, but was that anything to do with maybe hydroelectricity or
No.
What's the machinery for?
Just to let the water through.
Just controlling the
controlling the
gates and so on.
The amount of water that goes into the beck. That's all that's for. Yeah.
And there's still people now who go in and.
Well, I don't know whether you do it now. I suppose if you ask for permission, they would. Yeah.
But there are people going into work in there, going to look after the machinery.
Oh, yeah, it's always locked. Mm. You have to go in, you know.
And there's a fish farm now, isn't there, I believe?
Is there?
Just below the dam.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Been there for a few years.
Oh, I didn't know. Mm. That must have been just below. We had a big. Water treatment place, you know, because there were water toilets up there, and there was this big place, and this thing used to go around just swinging water around, and then of course it had to empty the cesspit tanks.
That was the sewage from the village.
Yeah. And that was, I don't know whether that's there now, or has it gone into a main sewer, I don't know.
Yes.
I think it'll have gone into the mains now.
I don't know if there are mains.
Oh no, there's no villages hardly there, so it'll still be.
It'll still be a big septic tank or a big treatment.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I think where Mrs. Highmarsh lives now, I think that's where Gobby Wilson lived.
Right.
And she, I remember her moving, and she moved down to Helton when they left. They didn't go very far. Mm. And I think it was her that, I think it was on a Friday during the recession, she used to make meat and potato pies. And people used to go and buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else can you remember about the shop? Because you said it
was. Oh, the shop, it was well stocked.
It was well stocked. So virtually everything you.
But it was just great big wooden counter and everything was behind.
Yes.
You just had to ask for everything. You never.
No self service.
No self service, no.
No. What else did they sell? Non food things? Did they sell hardware or.
No.
It was
just food to food store, yeah. Yeah.
Sweets?
Oh, yeah. Well, now, going on the top road, past the substation, there was another four semis, dropped down the hill, the corporation garages, the wooden garages. One point about that garage I can remember, I used to work in those garages, that's where we had our wagon. But one year there was a man drowned in hose water, and he was in that garage, they brought him and left him in there all one night.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Morris Cowley, two big Morris Cowley cars. Morris Isis. Oh, big cars were that they used to go down to Penrith and pick the wages up every Friday.
Mm.
And there was also, they used to be armed, whoever went down.
Because it would have been a substantial amount of money.
Oh, quite a big money, yeah. Mm. Well, past the garages, opposite the road, there was a big turnaround where you couldn't get a bus on the top road. They just come up the village and they turn around there. The garage is down there.
On the lower road?
On the lower road, yeah. You come right on the lower road to the turnaround place, and then there's a little, not where it is now, another entrance into, that was an entrance into the dam. To the works, the works, yeah. Mm. No, it's a different place now. And then just across from that was a little tobacconist and sweet shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a little post office. I think she sold stamps and stuff.
Mm.
It was the same one, but that's where we used to get our chocolates, sweets.
Right.
And you came down the road again, and then there was a big hut again.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who was in that. And then further down, another big hut. Across from that was the bowling green, and as I said, the allotments.
Newspapers as well?
That top shop sold the newspapers. Newsagent, tobacconist. I just can't. No, I don't think it was a post office there.
Mm-hmm.
The post office was, you know, the Jerry.
Mm.
The Jerry where it is now, towards the school, the top house, that was the post office.
Mm.
There was a post box there as well. I don't know if that's still there.
Mm. There's a little post box just near the bridge, just opposite.
No, this post box was
then.
It was where the post office was, and then they moved from there down to where they are now.
Mm.
But that was a sweet shop, that where the post office is now, just sweets. And because as kids we used to go down and buy our sweets there, a newsagent.
In Bampton?
In Bampton, yes. Yeah.
And there would have been a shop in Bampton. Do you remember your grandparents or anyone else going out of Burnbanks for shopping?
Just to Penrith. She used to go every weekend to Penrith on the bus.
On the bus, yeah. Mm. Uh-huh. That's for more specialised shopping, is it? If you want.
Yes, for your clothes, the co-op and clothes and
furniture or I don't know, whatever.
I don't know whether she'd go down there and pay the bill or what else she paid for the groceries, I don't know.
And then bring it all back on the bus? And
then bring back...
Did people deliver? Did you bought things?
Yeah, the co-op, there was a big wagon come up every once a week and it had sacks of flour on and, big cardboard boxes with...
So if you ordered...
The traveller would come round at the beginning of the week, take your order, and then they'd deliver it later on in the week.
That's
and the coal wagon used to come up. There was a chap used to come up selling fresh herrings, and I never had herrings for years after that. The smell that used to come off that thing was fresh.
Not so fresh.
And then we had a tailor came up.
From
Shap. I can't remember his name. No.
So he'd measure you up, and if you wanted things.
Yes, yeah, but he was mostly for the. Not for myself or us or like that. We'd go down to Penrith, but he used to come up and shirts and things like that. Mm. And I'm not quite sure, but I think he used to take weekly payments or something like that. You know,
Could you pay in instalments?
Instalments, yes. And things like that. Yeah, I think we paid the doctor.
Oh yes. Because this would have been before the NHS.
Before the NHS, we had to pay so much for him as well.
Yes. You remember who the doctor was? There was a surgery, wasn't there? A clinic.
Yeah, no, you know, I can't remember that clinic. I can only remember going into his...
Because Joyce Martin described...
Was it Judson? Dr. Judson?
No, Joyce Martin described living next door to the surgery.
Ah, well, that was just above the chapel then. Mm. I think that's where Joyce Martin lived. Mm. And was it McCormack that lived next door to them?
Oh, I don't know.
Myra McCormack, I think.
So you think it was maybe Dr. Judson?
Maybe. I'm not quite sure of the Judson part, because I think he's... Yeah. Maybe it wasn't Dr. Judson, I don't know.
Was that later, maybe?
Aye. Yeah.
Was there a nurse as well?
Yes, now, she might have come to the clinic, there might have been... Yes, there was a nurse, and she used to visit, you know, young kiddies, and I can remember Walter and family went down with scarlet fever.
Walter Twigg?
Yeah. Walter Twigg, yeah.
Yes.
There was five of them, all under five at one time. So more than wasted no time. I was going to say something else, you know, but it slipped my mind. Mm. I think it was Dr. Judson.
Yes. What about dentists?
We used to come round school and look at your teeth, and if anything wrong, you had to go to Penrith to Dr. Barron's. Barron, I think that's what he was. I know what his shop. Used to hate it. None of us liked the dentist coming. And then, of course, we had our inoculations. And as the school, as it got near into the war, then we had to have free milk and free Horlicks, and they did that at the school.
Mm.
I don't know where that carries on now, but yet by law they had to do that.
Yeah, keep people healthy.
Aye, supposed to be, yeah.
Yes. What do you remember about the war then? What went on?
Very little up there, because at that time people were leaving, and... I was coming of that age where, I was more interested in me fishing and stuff like that when I was off school. The evacuees coming, I can remember them coming.
Coming to the school?
They're coming to the school, yes. Yeah.
But were any of them billeted at
Burnbanks? No. Well, you see, everybody was starting, they were starting leaving then.
Yes. So Burnbanks was closing down a bit?
It was closing down rapidly.
Yes.
After the beginning of the war. No, it was only the people in Bampton that had taken evacuees.
Mm. Mm.
There is one thing I'd like to know. Sarge Noble, his field, just across from where the quarry was. There's a, you know where the quarry is. They have bees in there now.
Oh yes, at Bampton, yes.
Yeah, that had a big mill in there for quarrying and a crusher. Well, across the road from that, down at Sarge's, there was a big crab apple tree, a very big one. It's gone. And I just wondered when that had gone.
Wow,
so somebody might be able to tell you that one.
I can ask. I don't know.
He had a big bull in there, and we used to look at these crab apples, and we didn't dare go down though.
You wouldn't want to eat them, would you?
Oh, but it just, you know, the adventure of pinching two or three crab apples.
The bull was guarding it,
then. Oh, but it was a lovely big tree, and it looked really red, and we never knew whether they were sweet or not, though.
No, they wouldn't be, probably.
No,
they look better than they taste, I think.
Yeah, it's kid, you could see these big red apples, yes. And you couldn't get near them.
Yeah. Anywhere else where you did any pinching of apples?
I was up at John Thompson's, and I was just checking myself, you know, you only took one or two.
Yeah.
And Big Anne grabbed me by the nape of the neck.
Yeah.
Locked me in a hole for about an hour.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just adventure. There was, you weren't stealing for. It's just, I suppose, village life.
Yes. There probably would have been a lot more apple trees in those days.
Oh, yes.
Everyone would have maybe had.
Everybody had apple trees.
Yes.
Oh, there was Mr. Jameson. He was a works engineer.
Yes. He was at Nadalgate?
No.
No, he was in the village, was he?
No, he was in, you know, Warngate?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Charlie was. What's the big house on the right just before you get to it? The big one down in the hill. You go right down to it.
Just before the Chapel Bridge, you mean? Or
no, come Chapel Bridge into Gatefoot. Gatefoot, come up the hill,
yeah.
And on the left there's a barn.
Oh yes.
And going down into the big house there. That's
right.
Where Mr. Jameson lived.
Right. I know what you mean. Yes.
Oh, there's a massive big orchard in there.
Oh, right. Yes. I wonder if that's still there.
I don't know.
A lot of them,
but the big barn's still there.
It is. Yes.
I should imagine that house is worth a lot of money.
Yeah. So I don't know who's there now. So that's where Mr. Jameson lives?
That's where Mr. Jameson lived, and he had a big, he was a big man, he must have been 6'2",
mm-hmm.
And he never ever used the corporation transport. He had a bike, old bike, nearly like a, wasn't a penny farthing, but he looked a bit like it, and he used to bike up to the offices every day.
Yes.
Very aloof man, but he was an engineer, you know, we never spoke or anything like that, but...
So was he in charge? Was he?
Oh, he was the head engineer.
He was the head.
He was the top man of the village.
Yeah,
yeah.
And where did the other engineers live?
Cause in the staff huts, what we call the staff huts, is Nadalgate.
Nadalgate, right.
All those wooden buildings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there was a bit of separation between them and the.
Oh yes.
The people who did
the
hard work.
Him and us.
Did they ever mix socially? Did they come to the dances or?
Well, you see, I'd be too young to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
You described seeing some films sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Once a week we used to get a... They were silent as well, silent films. Now, whether we got talkies in there later, I don't know, but I do remember we used to have the silent films, and they used to come up once a week.
To the recreation.
Yeah. Okay. It was quite full. Mm-hmm. I think it was about threepence or something to go in, remember those days.
Did you have anyone doing any accompaniment, you know, piano or anything like that?
Yes, we had concert parties up there. There was a piano in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know whether the dances were the hops. They'd have a drummer there and somebody on the fiddle and mm-hmm. a piano.
Mm-hmm. What about making your own entertainment at home? Did people...
Oh, yes, you had all your... you'd ludos and your...
Yeah.
All your card games and your snaps and
mm-hmm.
mostly card games, you know. Well, I can remember what we called the steam radio coming, you know, with your batteries that was charged down in the village in the where the power station was.
Well, when would you have got your radio first?
I must have been about 1930. About 1934, 35, somewhere like that.
That must have been quite exciting.
Oh, yes, every Saturday night we used to listen to the scores coming through, and
yeah.
we had things pinned up on the board and put in who was on the top of the league and who wasn't, you know, that you got free with the newspaper. Mm. In Town Tonight, they used to let me stop a little bit later to listen to that.
What was that?
That used to go off. In Town Tonight, oh, it was music, you know, In Town Tonight, it was the celebrities who were in town and you have somebody singing and, you know, songs and yes, things like that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So sort of variety
shows. A variety show, yeah. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Do you remember any other programmes?
In Town Tonight, it sticks in my mind more than anything, and the soccer programmes.
Yeah. And then there's wartime stuff, as you said about Churchill. And
well, that was in the school.
With
a radio in the school then,
yes.
And he had us sitting there all in the big hall, all sombre, and Churchill speaking, you know. And that was it, that was the war.
Mm. Big, momentous occasion.
Oh yes, I dug it as all there. Yes. Regiment headed up.
So what happened when you left Burnbanks? What brought that on?
Well, I left school and I started there working.
You said about 15 and a half.
Yeah, I think it was about 15 and a half. Yes. Must have been 14 and a half, 15, I just can't remember that.
Right, okay.
And I started with Jim Jeffries, his mate on the way. I went to Penrith and had an interview to be a motor mechanic at Tinkler's. And the wage was going to be 12 and 6 a week, and my bus fare was going to be... No, my wage was going to be 7 and 6 a week, and my bus fare was going to be 12 and 6. I was going to lose money going. And I couldn't say that. I wanted some pocket money, so I went to the... had an interview and sat in the works at £1 a week, and that was Monday till Saturday afternoon.
Mm. Long week.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it was right up Saturday morning, finished Saturday afternoon. As we finished Saturday morning, 12 o'clock. Mm. 8 till 5, I think, or up past 7. I'm not quite sure whether it's up past 7 till 5 or 8 till 5.
Mm. Did you have to buy your own working gear?
Oh yes, you got nothing.
You didn't get anything?
No. I used to go through some boots with that spade.
Yes.
But what we did, we made a metal bit that went just on your insole and tied it on here, so that you had a bit of metal.
Yes, I see.
Yeah. Mm. And so then when I moved to Shap, I carried on working there for about another 6 months or so.
Did you move with your grandparents?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And then what made them move? Was it just that
the job was finished?
The dam was done.
Yes. There was no work for them, so yes. And she moved into Shap, Winfield House, and started a transport, bed and breakfast for transport, and she was
for wagon drivers.
Wagon drivers, yeah, because that was the main A6 then.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And as I say, I went and got a job in Penrith with Swainson on a little wagon, little two-tunnel, 250, you know, wagon.
Like the driver's mate, that kind of thing?
No, I'm driving then.
You were driving, oh right.
Oh sorry, when I first went, I was not old enough to drive.
So
I was 16 and a half.
You were still biking back to Burnbanks?
When I first went, I biked more every day back to Burnbanks to work, yeah. And then when I left there, I went to Penrith.
Yeah.
We're talking about B now, not Burnbanks, though.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just asking you how you came to leave. So.
Oh, we because the job, all the grandparents.
It's all right. We've nearly done the thing, so that's...
My grandparents said that there was no work for them.
Mm.
And, of course, they were having to pay rent, so she's in this ideal opportunity to get this big house.
Mm.
And use it as a transport stopover, bed and breakfast.
Mm.
And then I left because I got a chance of a job at Penrith on this, and I wanted to be a wagon driver, I suppose, at that time.
Mm.
Daft like, but...
What was it like leaving? Were you sad to leave Burnbanks, or
didn't that age you're not bothered, are you? And I was starting doing a bit of dancing, and there was more activity going on around Shap.
The wide world opened up.
There's one thing I can say. That you talk about this life. It's this time of year, this day and age, it is far better than it was then. Because at 17, when I did start driving, I was lumping 200 weight bags of barley and stuff like that for West Cumberland Farm as well. what is it now? It's about 25 kilos that are only allowed to lift now, but we were getting 200 weight bags to lift, basic slag and stuff like this, and I wouldn't like any kid to do that again. We're nearly finished now.
Anything else do you think we've missed?
I don't think we've missed anything, no.
I bet you know a lot more, actually, that I just haven't asked you the right questions, maybe. So what do you think about Burn Banks now? It's being redeveloped, isn't it?
I'd like to see it. Who's going to live there? What are they going to do? Are they going to... Are they going to be employed, or is it going to be holiday homes, or what?
No, it's not going to be holiday homes. I think there's got to be some... I think there might be a few for rent. I know Sylvia's staying.
Ah, but she's going to get one of the new ones?
Yes, in a new house. Mm. Her old one's going to go.
Yeah.
I think there's some for sale, but not for holiday homes.
No.
So that's good.
And are they going to try and give him a bus service or something like that? Or?
Well, I don't know about that.
Because I think Sylvia, she'll be out on a limb. Does she drive?
She does.
Oh, yes. Well, she's all right then.
She's all right at the moment. So
as long as they've got cars, yeah.
I think she's quite keen to stay. Mm. So she can't imagine living in a town.
No.
So.
Yes.
Okay.
Lovely.
Thanks very much, Bill.
And.
Right.